Live and local on AM 770 KTTH. Your independent conservative host, Todd Herman, welcomes you to The Todd Herman Show.
Today is the day the Lord has made, and I am thankful for this day and all the days the Lord has made, these times in which we choose to live. They are times such as these, as it says biblically. Now, speaking just briefly from a perspective of faith on this, the National Day of Prayer, personally, I heard a great, great statement in my prayer group last night, which was, one of our prayer group members said she is thankful for this age because it's causing people to choose. I mean, that's a tough message. That's a hard bit of teaching. And yet, I do think that's true. If you are more in the mood for goofy, fun, Todd Herman type stuff, make sure you get the podcast because I don't know what I did to myself earlier. I don't remember the show. I don't take drugs. Well, I mean, mason jar full of six heaping spoonfuls of freeze-dried Folger coffee, just down to the last bit of that, and a five-hour energy. That's it. That's not, those aren't drugs. That's just caffeine. You will hear maybe more of the entertaining, oh gosh, let's have fun, but still serious commentary type show that's on the podcast. I always feel better when someone who is credentialed starts to say things, or people that are credentialed begin to say things that I've been saying. And maybe that's a bit of insecurity, but I think it's more when people who are credentialed start to notice things, then I think other people are going to give it more credence. I mean, I hope through the 7 years we've done the show, that's 6 or 7 years, you and I have learned to trust one another, that I will go places on the show other people won't go in talk radio. And I say constantly, I do believe eventually, I don't think it's this company would do this. I do eventually think I'll get canceled in some way for taking those walks. And I think as a consequence of that, when I stick my neck out and say something, for instance, like the lockdowns are a swindle a year ago or well over a year ago, now you have many people saying this is a swindle and credentialed people and data analysts, and the data is clear that these things didn't work. We saw the signs of it then, the directional signs of it, and I went further than a lot of people to say, look, this is going to prove to be deadly, and it has. Now, earlier this week, I made one of those statements, and I think I said at the time, this is one of those statements, that we're not really living in a republic right now. We're living in an oligarchy. And just examine the signs. You have this old man, Fauci, who's telling kids that they're going to die if they play soccer without a woke mask. And you have the new head of the CDC who's just like the old head of the CDC, except she cries often. And that's not a sexist statement. There's plenty of women who do not cry in public office or jobs at all. She happens to be a person who cries a lot. She'd seen signs of impending doom, which haven't come, weren't going to come. And she's saying that kids have to wear woke masks while they're playing soccer in the sun outdoors. Fauci's saying, oh, these are conservative measures. There is only one reason for this, and that's fear. There's no reason to put these kids in masks. No medical reason, period. So you have this old man, Fauci, doing this. He's been in government for, 700 years. You have John Kerry back in place. You have Circleback back in place. You got the FBI putting in solitary confinement people who were involved in January 6th while they allow Black Lives Matter Incorporated to run wild and do whatever they want, and Antifa to run wild and do whatever they want. You have everything servicing the technocratic side of the world. Facebook allowed to do what they want to ban a former president. There's no comeuppance for that. There's not going to be from the left. In fact, Hillary Clinton wants Facebook to shut down more conservative speech. Hillary Clinton's back with influence. Bill Clinton's back with influence. Bill Gates runs the international policy for so-called vaccines. He funds the WHO. The same WHO organization, World Health Organization, pushing this pornographic sex ed into our schools, pushing gender confusion upon kids. That's all happening. And it's all servicing the party. None of it's governmental. They have Jay Inslee with his segregated society. The so-called governor of Washington State has decided people who give up their bodily autonomy to the party, they get to have seats at baseball games. People who want to maintain bodily autonomy don't get it. So if you're not willing to be owned by the party, well, you don't get to go to baseball games. That's not a republic. Emergency Order America is not a republic. We're not living in a republic. This is an oligarchy. And we can pretend otherwise. But it's much faster if we don't lie to each other. It's more expedient. It's not a republic. We can get the republic back. We can do that if we stall this insane federal takeover of the elections. If we stall that, then we stall the packing of the Supreme Court and we install some election security into the systems. We can get the republic back. So I said that we're not living in a republic right now. We're living in an oligarchy. And look at this. Someone sent me a piece by Angela Codevilla. In American Greatness, Oligarchs and Remedies. Those who live under oligarchies are not citizens because oligarchy validates itself, decides for itself within itself. It's committed above all to negating a people's capacity to rule itself. And he is Angelo M. Codevilla is a distinguished fellow for the Center of American Greatness, professor emeritus of international relations at Boston University, and the author of To Make and Keep Peace from the Hoover Institute Press, 2014. I feel better, and yet I feel worse. What are hundreds of America's biggest corporations, he writes, doing as they browbeat the public to abolish the requirements for identification for voting? What are Twitter, Facebook, et al. Doing when they prohibit people from sharing facts that are inconvenient to government policy and the Democratic Party? What did banks do when they turned over to the FBI the records of persons who happened to have traveled to D.C. or near it on January 6th? What about those big retail stores? You know, the ones that the government designated as essential, the one that thrived under the lockdowns. What are they doing when they continue to demand that you wear masks on their property, regardless of vaccination? What are colleges and universities, even K through 12 schools, doing when they deprive of opportunities young people who do not fit woke profiles? And what do all of them do when they dismiss complaints that they are violating your constitutional rights by telling you they are exercising their own private rights? Are they simply fronting for the government or specifically the Democrat Party? Well, that's one and the same, isn't it? Right now. This figurehead, Joe Biden, and the government are one and the same. As they control all the branches. Conservatives, he writes, conservative confusion. Americans struggle to understand what is happening because we still regard ourselves as citizens and imagine that those who run our Republican institutions still respect them to some extent. We see persons whom the ruling class favors committing crimes with impunity and complain of a two-tier justice system, but this is not mere corruption. We see corporations wielding government powers and complain that power is being franchised to favorites. But these are not mere favorites of the regime. This is the regime being itself. Such things are not deviations from Republican illegality. They are the assertion of an oligarch reality. This is oligarch justice, oligarchic normality. The Republic was yesterday. The oligarchy is today. Now, his message to conservatives next. And then we'll unpack that together and get you this good news about Coca-Cola maybe stepping back from this after we check traffic.
I'm seeing the slow traffic on I-5 in the southbound direction, 128th Street through Linwood, and again past the Kings-Nohomish County line. I-5 northbound struggling through Tacoma, and again from almost mid-Boeing Field through downtown Seattle. Both floating bridges looking good across the water. Take your pick. The support is brought to you by Indeed. Looking to hire? Indeed will help you speed up the process. They have 135 skills tests to help you find the right candidates faster. Visit Indeed.com/credit. I'm John Nelson, 770 KTTH.
This piece in American greatness continues. Conservatives' congenital mistake is to try to conserve something that no longer exists by supporting institutions that now belong to regimes so alien to Republican life, small r Republican, that it treats attempts at citizenship as crimes against the regime. And so they are. They call today's American regime our democracy. It is theirs, all right, but not ours. It's a classic oligarchy. So what is to be done? Well, we talked about this earlier in the week. It is to be rejected, first of all, in the mind. Anthony Fauci does not give you the right to walk around without a mask. Anthony Fauci does not give you the right to hug your grandma. Anthony Fauci doesn't give you any rights. You have them because you came from God Almighty. And the founders of this country said the government cannot take what God has given and be legitimate. Can't do it and be legitimate. Without due process, for instance, wars were to be deliberated through due process before the taking of life was done at the hands of the government. Through due process, because, of course, life is given by God. So it starts with the mind. This is why this week and next, I'm talking so much about the psychological aspects of what causes people to want to shut up and not call out the fact that they're seeing lies before their face, that they're seeing propaganda before their face, that they're seeing nonsense before their face, because they want to be in the herd that's winning, that seems to know where to go. The diffuse, idiotic Republican response to this big R Republican to this crisis, this diffuse, some people are here, some people are there, only the Ron DeSantises and the Christie Gnomes and to some degree the Ted Cruzes and the Rand Pauls are willing to step out and say what's going on. Facebook meddled in our election. They participated in meddling the election. They don't care. They hate your vote. They hate your freedom. Mark Zuckerberg hates the mRNA injections. He says so in private. He will not allow you to say it on the platform. Not because he thinks you're wrong. He knows you're right to have suspicions about changing the function of your bodily genes. He knows that. He said that, but he can't have you say that on the platform because the little people's role is to shut their talking holes. We don't shut our talking holes, and that's the next step. Mental freedom. And for months, I've been asking all of us to disconnect completely from the Mockingbird media. Completely. It's not because we can't spot their collusion and their bias and their gaslighting and Kafka trapping of us. We can and we do. But we end up in an emotional state unhelpful to this because our speech, when we're trying to save people from falling over into the oligarchy's control or the party's control or the control of the Fauci's, et cetera, or the Black Lives Matter mob, our speech needs to be filled with love and recognition that those people are being psychologically manipulated by a Mockingbird media that has them frightened to leave their house, has them riding their bicycles on 80 degree days with no one around wrapped in a woke mask. To this day, people do that. So what to do. Well, understand that we're fighting against massive amounts of money putting out garbage like this.
Hiya, Liza.
Hi, Ben.
You got any extra shots?
Sure, Ben.
Sleeves up.
I'm a Pfizer girl in a COVID world. I'm the classic mRNA-tastic 95%. There's no argument.
We're fighting trash like that. And so let's use tools like this. Hey, did you get the jab? Hey, Mark, how you doing? I'm good. Hey, listen, I'm just curious. Why would you ask me that? Now, what are you doing there? It's called a pattern interrupt. Pattern interrupt is Mark when he asks you that question. Hey, how you doing? Hey, did you get the jab? Hey, Mark, I'm good, man. Good to see you. Hey, listen, why would you ask me that? That is not a question Mark is prepared to hear because Mark doesn't know why he's asking. This is like, have a good day. Or it's better yet, it's like, hey, how are you? Oh, I'm good. When you know you're not good, it's just that's what we say. I'm good. The expected behavioral response is, yeah, of course, yeah, oh, yeah. I got four of them. I got four jabs. I'm so woke. We present pattern interrupts to interrupt the thinking. Why would you ask me that? Because it causes them to get into a different mental state of I don't know. I'm just curious. Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I'm still studying that. I'm still studying the risk reward for me and my family. So I'm very concerned about some things, like, for instance, the fact that these two mRNA injections causes the genes in your body to produce these spike proteins that have never been in our body. So I'm nervous about that. And I'm in a cohort that's very, very unlikely to make other people sick or to get sick. So I'm not going to take them until I do that research, until I feel safe. Now, you can get people upset. And you interrupt their pattern. Starts with protecting our minds, protecting our state of emotion, speaking out in these ways, having these questions ready to go. You have a conversation with people about whiteness, or you have a conversation with people about the 1619 Project, or you have a conversation about critical race theory in the schools, and they're saying to you, well, look, it might be, look, I know that there's a lot of cops who aren't racists, but, you know, we just need to recognize that black people are afraid. Black people are afraid. I see that you are really concerned about this. What percentage of black people are afraid specifically? Oh, well, I don't know. And most people will never admit, oh, I don't know, but they don't know. You plant seeds of doubt. The likely response is, well, enough that obviously we need to take this seriously. I don't know the percentage and neither do you. Well, I do. About 80% of black people in a recent survey want to see increased funding for police. We have to interrupt their patterns. We have to speak to them with these questions where we know the answers and they don't. That's the way we fight this. Koch is beginning to step back from this. They fired this attorney who said any law firm who does any work for us has to have 30% black employees. They didn't fire him, but they sent him packing with a $4 million sign-on bonus, and now he's going to be a strategic consultant to the company. They're starting to step back because already people are not buying Diet Coke. I won't buy it. That's been my poison of choice for years. I won't buy it. That's another thing we do, and we use tools like this. This is a toddler with a disability. And Southwest Airlines wants this toddler off the plane because his disability makes it hard to keep the mask
Mom
on.
Mom, Caroline says sometimes the mask can be too much. It's why she's got a doctor's note saying he might have a problem with his mask, but Mom and Dad know how to handle it. It's why she called Southwest's customer service department ahead of the family's flight out of DIA to visit Orion's 94-year-old great-grandma in Florida. She was told everything would be fine.
When we actually got to our flight, we were told that there was an issue and they had to ask the supervisor to ask the captain's permission for us to board.
All this time, his mother says Orion was doing fine, wearing the mask, seatbelt buckled.
Came onto the plane and said that we needed to deplane because the captain did not feel comfortable with my son on the plane.
And that was it. She says they were removed from the flight simply because she took that precaution to warn the airline about what might happen.
The captain who said that is a traumatized human being who I'm tempted to call trash. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show.
Licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. Get more info at rocketmortgage.com.
It's your turn to text the Todd Herman Show.
The rule's pretty simple.
Be concise. Be precise. And drop the mic. 800-465-8770.
You can also email me, therman at ktth.com. Probably get to some of the emails tomorrow and next week. And I am slowly, too slowly, working my way through getting back to people in email. And I do appreciate your patience. It is a blessing to have so many people want to email you. And I feel like a lazy head. A lazy head! I haven't used that. That's what my mom called me. Not a bad lazy head. That never works. Did it work with you when your mom called you lazy head? What did she call you? I don't know. Maybe you were someone who got up early all the time. I know I'm getting karma. I know it. I love being with you in the morning. I miss my gym time early in the morning. But I told my mom, I will never. When I'm an adult, I'll never get up before noon. Ever. That didn't work when I started adulting. There were other people who said, well, then you'll never work here. Funny, Mike Tyson said, everyone's got a plan until they get hit in the face. I don't know, probably shouldn't quote Tyson for things. Let's get to the text messages. Middle-aged mom from Edmonds. Hey, Herman and Rance. Regards to UW mandating vaccines for students and not professors or staff. Our neighbor is a professor at the UW, and he told us the reason why they can't mandate to staff is because the vaccine is still in the experimental stage. I know both of you are aware of that, but I think vast majorities of people forget that. I can't believe we as a society and parents are willing to experiment on our kids. Vaccine craziness. So frustrating. Keep up the good work, guys. Middle-aged mom from Edmonds. Thank you. Middle-aged mom. Middle age is the new teenage. No, it's not. I'm proud of my age. From our friend Dr. Andrew Bostom, to your point, middle-aged mom. Survey now. It's this. He asked, what would the numbers be if we had actual informed consent? One-third of parents combined either will definitely not have their children given the mRNA injections, or only if it's required by the schools. So again, look, you be you. You're going to give into shooting your kids up with an experimental drug because the schools tell you you must. Maybe just say this. My kid had the COVID flu. My kid's immune. Because they're doing it to people who have had the flu and have built up actual immunities, which the mRNA injections do not impart. Here's another great response. This is, I've seen this on Facebook. Hey, Todd, how you doing? Hey, Mark, what's going on? So, hey, did you get the jab? No, I'm in the control group. What? Oh, the experimental drug? I'm in the control group. I'm not taking it. So it would be irresponsible for me to mess with the experimental gene therapies. So I'm going to remain over here. I'm in the placebo group, Mark. How's it going for you? Jason's, what? It can't, someone gave themselves the nickname. That's mean. Jason's eyebrows. Given India's recent tensions with China, do you think the Chinese could have released additional sources of the virus inside the country? I don't believe that I have any evidence that China purposely released this anywhere. I do have this, that they lied about it, that there's great evidence that the virus existed in China in late 2017 and 2018, that they have disappeared the original origins of the virus, that it was worked on in a lab that had been taken over by the Chinese Communist Party's military, that China has promised to be the experts at total warfare, including the use of chemical and biological weapons. I know all those things, but I don't have any reason to believe that that's what's gone on in India. I think the sources are they just went through their winter. Upper respiratory viruses always get worse in the winter. They have a huge population of people who live in absolute poverty, destitute, living in mud and mud huts. And that is going to end up with bad hygiene, which makes you particularly vulnerable to upper respiratory viruses. I do know that the infections in India are mapped to the highest place or the highest density of vaccinations. I know that. Those are where I'm focusing. On the topic of COVID and the quote jab, Kelly, have singles started posting vaccinated or non-vaccinated on dating websites? Yes, they have. Yes. Yes. In fact, we're talking about that tomorrow. Listen, there's going to be, you watch, there's going to be a feature on, what's that swipe right thing that everyone uses to have, oh, thank you, Tinder. There's going to be on Tinder, there's going to be vaccinated only. You watch. And then I would pressure them to say, what about the placebo group? We don't get to, what about I have the actual antigens? Space Hog. Hi, Todd. Interested in ethical skeptics' hypothesis on fecal spread. Are you listening, Nutella? Billion-dollar idea here vis-a-vis India. Ever seen pictures of Calcutta or New Delhi? No wonder COVID is going crazy. Yes, I have seen pictures of that. That was to my point. We mentioned that on the India segment. So ethical skeptics at ethicalskeptic.com, he's not making the claim that he knows this to be the case. He's looking at data signals that strongly indicate it in his eyes. That this is the case. And he's also looking at leaking sewer pipes, leaky sewage pipes, spreading the fecal matter throughout households and buildings. Not to freak you out. That just happens. And if that's the case, yes, then that does explain India to a greater degree. Bullfrog. The fecal matter, maybe that changes the perspective on China's anal swabs. Oh, the anal swabs. Yeah, I can see the reason for that. Except you have the rapid antigen test now through saliva, etc. Secondly, that felt like China was trolling us. They were going to do it to American quote dignitaries and such. Detective Baker Ranch. That's such a good nickname. On the topic of Hillary Clinton, of course, Mrs. Clinton knows what an algorithm is. Whoops, I'm not supposed to amuse myself. Sorry for laughing. Of course, Mrs. Clinton knows what an algorithm is. She's programmed with many of them because she's naturally bereft of all human feelings, emotions, and basic humanity. That's strong. That's strong. Children's Hospital, Kelly. Children's didn't care enough about the patients to maintain an HVAC system, causing them to some of their patients to get sick and die. Yeah, what's going on with Children's Hospital? And they're poisoning kids with wrong sex hormones and now wanting to shoot them up with the mRNA. You seem really early. It says 39 on my clock and it's an iPhone. 39? I thought we were always at 40. What are we doing? You stealing a moment? You stealing a minute of the show from me? Oh, man, you guys, I tell you, the greatest text is right before me. But sadly, oh, it's a new text or two. Red, what? You sure? I don't want to get you in trouble clockwise. Red behind enemy lines. Been a fan. even when you did try your hand with the other local radio show regarding the vaccine segregation, wanted to know where I should break out my leper bill. By the way, this is just a thought. Do you think that the requirement of kids to get the shot, knowing that the side effect is infertility, is a way to control population growth? Thanks for all you do, Todd. That's a heavy conversation. I am not ready to state that they're trying to do that. I don't have any data to show that. Now, I'll tell you this. These injections, Michael Yeardon, the former VP of research for Pfizer, says, hey, get ready for a lot of people who are infertile. That's him. He's a scientist, not me. Hey, you know what? We're really late, Alex. We best take a traffic break on the Todd Herman Show.
Down on Main Street.
On a personal note today, I'm sure you've seen all of the Mockingbird media talking about today is the National Day of Prayer, right? Oh, no? Wonder why that is. Today is the National Day of Prayer. And in Idaho, there are prayers, group prayers happening outside city and county city centers and county courthouses and government buildings, prayers on the steps thereof. Pastors, I know, are going to be helping to lead some of these. George Washington dropped to his knees and prayed. Think about this, that this was a guy who was going to go on to be what's, you know, we refer to as the father of our country. And I've looked into it pretty deeply, and he was not perfect. And he was a man of his era. And he held slaves. And he freed people. And incongruent happenings like that are thick in history. He held slaves and he freed people. He freed people from overall bondage, from a monarchy. And upon his death, it's my understanding that he freed his slaves, people he held in bondage. I shouldn't say his slaves. I detest the idea that someone is another's property. I went to see his home when we lived in Washington, D.C. And here was just so shocking to me. His bed was still in the room, the bed in which he died. I remember asking the tour guide, and I was certain I was going to hear, oh, no, that's a replica. I said, is that he preferred to be called General Washington, by the way, even after he'd been president. He never did like the grandiose notion of being called president, preferred to be called General Washington. So I said, is that the general's bed? She said, yeah, that's the bed he died in. Wow. That's the bed in which he died. And so you're standing there, and that's something that he touched and slept in. You get nearer that, and you remember that this is a man who was leading the Continental Army and was so overwhelmed going against the world's most powerful military that he dropped to his knees. And he prayed to God Almighty. And today's the National Day of Prayer. And you go further into some of the founders, the great lectures of, oh, they were theists, but not Christian. And they were, okay, some were Christian, some were not. And our founding documents can't exist without God. Let me underline that. Our founding documents cannot exist without God. The Creator is at the center of our founding documents. It's at the center of our Declaration of Independence. We are not the possession of other people. We have God Almighty who has formed us and made us. And this is my worldview. So if you're not Christian, or you're not religious, or you're agnostic, I love you. I thank you for being part of the program. I'd be happy to have that conversation with you one day. I respect your decisions, even as I wish they weren't your decisions. And I still love you, and you're welcome. And today's the National Day of Prayer. So will you allow me to just offer a prayer? Is that okay? I'll give you a second to tune out if it's not okay. And you can rejoin us tomorrow. Father God, thank you for the blessings that you've bestowed upon all humanity. The sun that separates the day from night provides us not just warmth, Father God, but it provides us, in fact, nutrients. Provides us the ability to see where we're going. It powers the plants, dear Lord, as you well know, that in fact filter the air we breathe so that we can in turn breathe it back in this incredible system you built for us. Mathematically speaking, of course, it couldn't exist happenstantially, and yet people want to shove it into, oh, everything came from nothing. It's just all of a sudden it was all here. And Lord, I want to just also thank you for the blessings of speech. The fact that we as human beings can open our mouths and share ideas and thoughts and feelings and, in fact, our respect for you is a big separator between us and the beautiful animals that you gave us as well. I mentioned earlier that my daughter got to go be around. She loves goats, just beautiful animals. Got to go have that experience with another of your creation, and yet they can't speak and they can't write. And they can be beautiful, but they can't speak and they can't write. I want to thank you for that. I want to thank you for when I finally figured out that needing you is different from loving you, and needing you is different from respecting you. When I fell to my knees and snot ran down my nose, and I was blowing snot out of my beak saying, dear God, I can't do this without you. When things were so scary for our family, I want to thank you for dropping me to my knees. And I want this nation to also take a good hard look at life without you. Where kids are possessions of pharmaceutical companies to be injected with wrong sex hormones and mRNA? Where violent groups are allowed to run wild? Where tech kings disappear thoughts inconvenient to them because people are possessions to them? I hope people will take a good, strong look at the test run of life without God. And Father God, I hope that these times will drive people to make a decision for you. This is the Todd Herman Show. We are every weekday, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. live on the West Coast, on podcasts everywhere. Go be well, be strong, and be kind.